Sanctuary, Lord. Oh, sing it again. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, amen. Oh, with thanksgiving this morning, I'll be a living sanctuary. Isn't that your desire this morning? Sanctuary for you. Mary, for it is you, Lord, who came and saved the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. Give me strength, which I don't have. Lord, prepare me, Lord, to be your and holy, your and I am true with thanksgiving. We are living sanctuary. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Lead me on. Revive me from within. Oh, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin. Take away my sin. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me.
Sanctuary, you're an holy, tried and true, and I'll be your lady. Sanctuary, blessed be his wonderful name. How many know that's his plan for this age? The living tabernacle of the living God. I will dwell in you and walk in you, and you shall be my people, and I shall be your God. God, in this hour, perfecting this great tabernacle, that he might dwell in it. The Bible says, know ye not, you are the temple of the living God. How grateful we are this morning for that. Welcome you all in his house, in his presence. How many is happy to be here today? Amen. May he bless our coming in, bless our going out. May this service mean something to us. We'll find something special, something just what we have need of today. God in grace would just move among us, minister these great things that we have need of, that truly he'll be the treasure in our souls today. Amen. We have a little dedication here. Brother and Sister Albert Alexander would like to dedicate their baby girl, Serene, Faith, Journey, and their daughter, trust I'm pronouncing that right, Rasha, Kadisha. Amen. To the service of the Lord. Bible says, then will you brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands in them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Jesus instructed to children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and they parted thence. You know something about the Lord Jesus? He never failed to respond to the faith of his people. The Bible said he brought the children that he should put his hands on them and pray. They knew that there was a blessing in him. He was the blesser. They knew it was the word that God lived in him. And so they brought the children with expectations that they would have this audience, that he'd bring them before him, that he would put his hands on them and pray. And they know when he prays, what blessing he blesses them with, they are blessed. In that hour, there was so much oppression. There was so much of the word of God that was made of no effect. There was so much vain traditions of men. But they knew that they could bring those little ones to him. And the Bible says the disciples rebuked them. But he looked in each other, faith in them parents, holding those children, understanding that they had come from God. They've been placed into the care and their responsibility. And they desire that he would bless them, that they could raise those children for the glory of God. Coming with your treasures, approaching the great throne of mercy and grace that laid in him, looking forward for that blessing, they walk away from his presence there with those children blessed. Take them back to the institution of their home and raise them to serve the Lord. What a great thing. You'd never turn that down. The ignorance of the disciples, they failed to recognize what a great privilege that was and how much he desired to bless and to pray and to impart to them what they had need of. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let us bow our hearts in his presence. Our brother and sister came in the table and meetings, and when we had those services there, they certainly want to see the whole family walking in the place where everyone can get their appointed portion, where the blessing that God has for each one can truly flow to their lives. And we thank God for them. They never turned back, never looked back since that day, and how God has been gracious to them. Blessed be your wonderful name. Our gracious, loving Father, we stand in your great, mighty presence. God, we are so grateful. There is none trying to turn back these, but rather usher them into your presence. Bring them, O God, even though you're not in the corporate body, you've given us faith to discern the body of the Lord today, to recognize that you live in your people, and you are still the same yesterday and today and forever. Still the same to bless and to impart the grace upon the lives of the parents and upon the lives of the offspring as they bring them in anticipation of this great blessing that they can receive. Oh God, knowing that this is the desire in the heart of the parents, the children, too young, dear God, not yet at the age of accountability where they would have the responsibility to make their own confession. But dear God, the parents standing in their stead and bringing them, O God, with faith, believing for them, dear God, knowing that you have given access, Lord, before your great throne of grace. And Lord, as we stand here, we give you thanks for our brother Albert and his dear wife, how, dear God, you sent us a table land, and though it was not from that locality, you brought them there. God, I remember the expression on our brother's face, that word going forth night after night, and how it affected him, dear God. Close friend, did not walk, but he walked, dear God. He made that decision, Father. And dear God, how they walked away from everything that, dear God, they saw that did not line up with your word, and how they strove with all that is within them to line up everything, dear God, that they could with your word, Father. And here they are still walking with this, Lord, influence today. And we are thankful to see that, because it shows that they are not stagnated. They are progressing, dear God. But you can just strengthen them and can you cause them, dear God, to walk with greater faith in this hour and greater understanding. We pray that you will enlighten them, dear God, into the knowledge of this vocation, dear God, this stewardship that you have given unto them. They raise these children for the glory of God, enlightened with the understanding for the purpose for which you have given them, and the discernment, dear God, that they can recognize what you have deposited in the lives of these children, that they might know to cultivate, Lord God, this gift and grow them, Father, in the way that they could truly shine forth as the little children sang, having this treasure in their lives, dear God, exhibiting it, demonstrating it, Lord, growing in the knowledge of it, Lord, taking the place in your economy. May you grant it, Father. And dear God, as we bring little serene faith journey, oh God, Father, the peacefulness, the serenity that you have filled their hearts and lives and the parents with. And also we pray, even this child is name and they identify the experience, her little life, dear God, would be filled with this serenity, Father, and this great faith that brings this calm, blessed assurance, oh God, and Father, this journey that they have made, and that faith has been revealed from faith unto faith in them, dear God. Bless this little child, Father. May you grant her health and strength. May the peace of the Holy Spirit, oh God, fill her, dear God. May your Holy Spirit have such an influence upon her life that, dear God, as she grew, oh God, under the instruction of their parents, in the environment of their home, under the godly influence, Lord, of the example of their lives, Father, God, as she behold the very image, Lord, that reflects you, dear God, and as she have been taught from the lips of the word, and she see the light shine from them, God, she will grow with this influence, that the name of Jesus Christ will have such meaning and value, even that as she would begin to speak that name and mortal tongue, the sweetest name, oh God, will come from our lips, oh God, in praise and adoration. God, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, or in strength and perfect praise, we pray that you'll give her health and strength and keep her from all harm and all danger and all evil, oh God. And dear God, she will shine forth, Lord God, with your light, and Lord, have favor both before God and man. Granted, Father. By faith we place her beneath your precious blood, O God. And Lord, ask that you would ever watch over her and keep her in peace and safety, that she would live to your honor and live to your glory. And dear God, Father, you would bless her and you would order her steps in your word. We now dedicate little serene faith journey Alexander to you today for a life of service, asking your blessing upon her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, little Rashad Khadisha, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, may you bless this girl. May she grow. May she be a fine looking girl. Seems she has such a respect and such a sweet spirit about her. Oh God, this is a blessing, Father. Now, oh God, may her life, even from this day, the Holy Spirit, as we dedicate it to you for a life of service. She didn't have the privilege because the parents wasn't walking in that light when she was born. But Lord, now they see, Father, the need. Dear God, her life would come under such godly influence. May the Spirit of God move in the child's life. And may you bless her. May you give her favor. Even when she goes to school, her life perfume that classroom. She'd be like a little Easter flower sheltered under the rock, oh God. To shine forth and give you light, Lord. We think of little Hannah growing up a little girl, and little Ruth growing up a little girl, the life ordained to take a place in the economy. Little Esther being raised under the influence of Mordecai. Oh God, Father, but you had great things in store for her. So, dear God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your blessing will be upon this child's life. And you lead and direct her in all her steps to keep her in peace and safety. And she'll grow in grace and knowledge of the way of the Lord, and she will not depart from it. But Lord God, she will grow into such a relationship to come to know you by revelation and live to your honor and to your glory. Grant, we ask today, we dedicate her unto you for a life of service. in the name of Jesus Christ. Once again, asking your blessing upon the entire household, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless them and you keep them in His presence all of these steps. I bless you. May have a seat. This morning we are very happy to be in service here in the house of God, here where we have our post of duty, and Mr. Brother Ken with us. And last week we were mentioning how we were leaving for Grenada to go and conduct the exercise of assessing the damaged homes and the brothers and sisters in all the various churches over there, and to be able to understand better what the need is, that those needs can be met. And Brother Ken of the Assembly of Brother Biscal in Surrey, British Columbia, you know, he is part of, he's on the trustee board in the church, and then he's part of a group called Men of Vision, where they felt led to undertake these kind of responsibilities, and God have blessed them with the resources and open up the channels and laid this burden upon them, that in a time of need like this, when it's such a great need, it's not just of providing some foodstuffs alone, but where the homes of the people who have been displaced and who have been disrupted in their life, they could have their homes restored and rebuilt. And it's a great exercise in cooperation with all the local pastors in the land. And so we are thankful that we could have been part of being on the ground and being involved in something like this, that is certainly going to not just about the homes, because your homes is just the place that shelter the people, but it's what things take place in the home, where the family lives, where the children are raised, where, you know, prayer is takes place, where they minister the word, like Aquila and Priscilla use their home for a church and minister the word to people, and how did they come out, Apollos and a minister went forth. So many things can happen in a home. And you look in the Bible, so sometimes you think it's a roof when a person don't have that, they don't have a place, you need to invite a friend. There was a hospitality. Elijah went into a home, was ministered to, and look what happened to that widow and her son. Think of it. And Jesus went into a home and was ministered by Martha and Mary. And look what happened there. See, had another home and wandering from place to place. And you know, when a creature have their habitat destroyed, then they can't seem to survive as they should, because, you know, each home, each habitat, so much takes place in that home. And that Shunammite woman, she had a home, she built a place for Elisha, and look what happened to her dead son when he was put in that little place. It wasn't much. There's a little bed, a little place, there's some water, and at least had a little table. But then look what happened there because of something like that. And so we realize that sometimes you look at little things and you need to see beyond that and see what these things are. You know, that the world do the humanitarian kind of relief, but in the bride, it's God ministering through the body and through the systems in the body. And it's the bride ministering to the bride, and that's fulfilling the scripture and the mystery of God, where these things are happening. Miracles, the power of God, the body being strengthened, and God is proving that He has built the body. And the Alpha is being restored. So this is the way we believe that sons and daughters of God, our life is not just a little historical life, a little temporal life here on earth. This is people with eternal life. Quicken in this hour by the Holy Spirit. Take the place in the Bible. And they live and walk in this age under the influence of the Holy Spirit in union with Christ the Head, who is having the preeminence in the body. And proving that in the economy of God, it's a faith economy. And God provides Jehovah Jireh, and divine love and the power of God works among the elect of God. Amen. Without politics and all these things. Amen. The Holy Spirit showing who He is and what He is and what His people means to Him. So, to give you a few idea of ideas and some of the events that took place and how it worked out. I just want to ask him to come. You know, he has been the one we have been sort of working with in this exercise, and it spread beyond the local assembly, is into all the other churches there. And so we just like to ask him to come and give his few words. Amen. God bless him. He's a kind of homesick, and I don't know how you mean white, and I get so black. I get burned up, I get like extra crispy, and he looks the same. I guess he knows more science than me. God bless him.
Good morning. Well, we're glad to be back. We had a very productive week. We got there on Monday and met with the brothers and sat down and worked through the best way to go about these things, and then went straight out and for the next 2.5 days looked at, I guess, a total of 30 houses and 2 churches, and that's not including the ones that the brothers had looked at on earlier trips as well, that we didn't have to go back and look at a second time. So we are thankful that we got as much done as we did. If you're going to do anything for God or do something for God's people, you can expect the devil to fight it. And I've never found anything that's worthwhile that we've been involved in that there was not opposition to in some way. And the devil tries to do this or that, but I think we succeeded in keeping our eyes on the goal. And the goal is to see people in their homes, people in their houses, and basically, I guess you could say, if a home was made out of wood, it probably didn't exist by the time we got there to look at it. If it was made out of concrete, the walls were there, and very little else was there. Part of a roof, maybe no roof, many, many tarps. The tarpaulin industry must be doing very, very well because everywhere you look, from little tiny homes to mansions up on the hill, you see these giant blue tarpaulins that people are making do with right now. It was a privilege for me to work with the brothers from both here and from over there, the different pastors that we were traveling around with. But really, I guess, the privilege of working as part of a team that Brother Vin and Brother Ellis, Brother Steve, Brother Timothy, we were really privileged to work alongside these brothers. And we started out early in the morning and really didn't do much but work all day long. Really, we didn't do anything but work all day long. And then in the evening, taken care of so well by the saints there in the guest house that we had, we were treated royally. Brother Steve has put me in an awkward position. When you go on a missionary front lines trip, you're used to losing a few pounds, and people are going to look at me and say, "Where were you really?" Because I think I probably gained a few pounds with all that good hospitality. So thank you, Brother Steve. It was remarkable to me to see each person finding their place of service. There was no overlapping, there was no contradiction. Everyone just went in there house by house, did what needed to be done. And one of the things that was moving to me was seeing how many of the old time saints were seeing Brother Vin perhaps for the first time for 20 years, maybe longer, 25 years I think in some cases, and to see their faces light up in recognition. And you could tell there were warm memories of good fellowship in the past. And sometimes those things, as time goes by, people forget maybe what they had or what they aspired to or their first love. And to see Brother Vin, you could just see it was all flooding back. And I know it meant a lot to him, but it meant we're used to seeing Brother Vin. He's a very dear friend of ours, one of my closest friends, and we've known him for many, many years, been a great blessing and a great friend to our family and to our children, to our assembly, to our pastor, Brother Biscoe. But he's always been in our element, and he's been a visitor, and we've been able to have fellowship on that level. Now I've had the opportunity to see him in his element, and see him with his people, see him with you, see you, and recognizing, as Brother Felix said, you see the building. Show me the master builder. Show me Christ in a pastor that is able to bring people, to bring an assembly, to bring people in Grenada to the same condition of the Word of God moving effectively in their lives and through their lives. And it just spoke volumes to me about his ministry, his life, his family, his personal walk. And so we've just been grateful that we could be here. We believe good things came out of Hurricane Ivan. And not just in the restoration of homes, I believe there have been restorations far beyond boards and wood and lumber and roofing. I believe there have been restorations of relationships and broken fellowship. And we're so thankful for that. Amen. So it's been rewarding. Brother Felix Dixon was a big part of this, and really was inspired to speak on certain occasions, and it just seemed to provide a channel that let us walk through, and it made a tremendous difference. I know having him there, and I know he has been blessed being able to be around the brothers and see what was going on. I'd like to thank everyone that sang last night and played and cooked and served. It was exceptional, and I want to thank you for that. So we bring you greetings from Brother Biscoe. I spoke to him yesterday. Greetings to Brother Vin from Brother Biscoe from the assembly, Third Exodus Assembly North. And we again bring you greetings and thank you for all things, for your fellowship, for your love, for your prayers. God bless you.
Amen. Praise his mighty name. Well, we, you know, every time you're involved in something natural of such a magnitude, and especially the way God has foreordained the lives of the bride, you can look into the natural things and understand spiritual things. Because, you know, they call the little group their men of vision. And now men of vision is trying to move people who have been displaced out of their homes back into new homes. And I believe that that is what happened in the Garden of Eden. Hurricane Ivan, or Hurricane Serpent, whatever you want to call it, hit back there. And then man, you know, bypassed the house they were supposed to come into. They were supposed to come to the theophany. Come into that house, and then we come into this pest house. And then we come into this pest house, but I believe that God, with his greatest vision ever, is trying to move us back into that house we were supposed to come into in the very beginning. And there's contractors, there's engineers, there's builders, there's workers, all working in harmony to bring this great vision to pass. And we encounter a lot of opposition, a lot of strife, a lot of contention, a lot of pressures, but our eyes is fixing the prize. We want to rise up and finish the job. Amen. We refuse to be compromised by God's grace, because this vision shall be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Yeah, at the appointed time, the vision will speak. Amen. With faith. Amen. And the vision has come with the opening of the seven seals. Amen. The seventh, this great mighty angel descended from heaven to the seventh angel on earth. A message went forth. A call went to get the master builders and the contractors and the workers. All those who was ordained. And God gave a great seven seal vision, a prophetic vision. Amen. And the great contractor who built the universe. Amen. The one who leads in this great thing. Amen. And brother, you have to carry some of the material up some far hills. Amen. You should have seen some of the places you have to climb. You don't know how they're going to get up there. But houses were built up there to begin with. And it can be rebuilt. Amen. So praise His mighty name. We are thankful for that. I'm happy to be here. And I came in a little late this morning. I was to pick up at a Ken a little earlier. And I'd be running. It was about 45 minutes late. And I told my sister, "Well, you have to excuse me. I was still hunting the moose early this morning. But then I think I shot the moose." So, you know, sometimes when you're hunting the moose, you're going late in the night, you hold your gun up, you could hardly open your eyes and see through the scope. So you say, "Best I go and sleep. Trust God, bring the moose within the range in the morning." Amen. So, by God's grace, we want to invite you to stand to your feet, open up your Bibles, get ready. Like to speak on Joseph the Savior. Preach on Joseph the Overcomer, Joseph the Dreamer. Amen. Joseph tested and tried. Joseph an example of suffering, affliction, patience, and all these things. We've been speaking on Joseph, this Joseph perfection, the brightness hour. And to all of you spiritual Josephs, amen, that make a part of this last day bride, that God truly will bless you and use you mightily. And you know, it's strange under this inspiration. So many things is happening, and things are really popping up all over. And others have witnessed it, and others have experienced it, how that, you know, things are happening in line with the Word to confirm and reconfirm and to open up things in the Word. And I believe that, you know, many, many years, you know, little Benjamin was born, but you didn't know among all them wicked brothers who killed Joseph, growing up with them. But then one day he had to meet Joseph. Amen. Hallelujah. And bodily kindness and forgiveness and all these things begin to take place, and people begin to realize. So you know how God moves, and they begin to realize that salvation, you know, and deliverance is to come through our ordained way. God only has one way to save, and God only has one Savior, that's Jesus Christ. And if Christ is in somebody, then salvation can take place. If Christ is not in that person, you can give it a book and a tract. You could sell a magazine, but did Christ to redeem under the law of a kinsman. Amen. Praise His mighty name. And God wants you to be a kinsman. God wants to be a kinsman to you. Amen. This great work of redemption bound to the members of the bride is finishing up. So everyone there is a little kinsman. Is that right? The great kinsman Boaz, Christ, the Lion of Judah himself, is in the people, living out this mystery, finishing up the plan of redemption. Make your co-worker to finish the plan of redemption. Is that what he says? That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. An intercessor, a redeemer like Abraham was, like Moses was. Glory be to God in the highest, like Joseph was. Let's pray before we read. Father, we thank you. Your presence is here. The anointing of your Holy Spirit. Your intelligence is among us. We are in the mind age, and the Lord, the mind of the age has come to us. Through the opening of the seventh seal, Lord, I put the secret that was in the back part of your mind into our hearts. That now the bride has the mind of Christ, and she knows what he wants done with the word. And she knows it is he and her fulfilling his own word he left for this time. What a joy it is to become prisoners. At first we were afraid to surrender, to yield, to give over, to separate. Lord God, we walk. I believe it's not fully understand your will. But today it's a joy. Today we are glad we did it, Father. That we are willing to separate from all unbelief. To follow you, dear God, into a fully surrendered life. To see, dear God, your word, Lord, being glorified and being admired. In order to believe. And to see you fulfill the work of faith with power. In this very hour, Father. Take full charge. Bless each and every one of us. Lord, let the word come forth. Lord, with your intelligence, that there will be consideration as the word is unfolding. Lord, to include all these that feed from this bread throughout the region. Oh God, that when the time comes and it is put on the table before them, Lord God, they would have the due portion when they would hear it, it would feed their souls. It would give them power, Lord, to bring deliverance into lives that would be complete. It would help them into a closer walk and a deep experience with you. It would bring them, Lord, into such a relationship that they can become reflectors of you in the places where you have placed them. May you grant it, Father. And may as they gather today, you bless them all in a special way. And dear God, may they be richly blessed and be provided for by your mighty hand. May you gift us a new portion also as we stand here. We wait upon you now. Bless the reading of your word and bless the preaching of your word and the hearing of the word, Father. And may it produce the results it was designed and intended for. For you had prayed that they may be one. And Lord God, let that oneness, there's a comfort now, Lord, be recognized and be understood in our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Genesis, I'd like to read, dear, a little bit out of Genesis. And I'd like to read from Genesis 45, just pick up a couple of verses on where I was last time and think a little more from that. Last week I was preaching Joseph's hidden power. And I was falling up by faith, Joseph, burying my bones in that land. And Joseph, a fruitful bow, and Joseph, the overcomer. And now we would like to look at Joseph, the Savior. Sometimes we think salvation is only in Jesus Christ. Sure it is. That's where it was done in our work once and for all. But when it has been effected and brought into reality and understood, accepted, and experienced, is that same Christ working through his body, mystical body, bring it to pass. He always did that, down to the Bible. If the prophet didn't come in this day, could we say we have been saved? You know, Jesus died for the world on the cross. You know, he paid the price for those names in the Lamb Book of Life, but it still needed that God to come now in human flesh among us to do something for us. That's why God still needs to send you and still needs to send me and still needs to send a brother and sister that would make themselves available that he can work in and through. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. That's why without the Holy Ghost, there's no Christianity. And the Holy Ghost coming to life, it comes to the purpose recorded in the Bible. That's to work in and through you to continue this great work. You don't have the Holy Ghost just to seal you. You have the Holy Ghost to make you a co-worker to finish the plan of redemption. Harvest is ripe. And what? The laborers are few. Pray that the Lord send laborers into the field. Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. He was making himself known to them now. Come near to me. They were astonished. I pray you, and they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And you know, that was 22 years ago they did that to him. And he's standing there, and his hand is no longer bound, and he's not in a loincloth, and he's not the commodity purchased by the Midianites and the Ishmaelites. He's standing there as Lord of all Egypt before them, with death and life in his hand. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He's looking beyond what actions they took against him through conspiracy. And he's looking at God's purpose and God's objective that God wanted to achieve. They were just instruments afflicting, suffering upon him. But God had an objective and a purpose. And so he transcends the carnal relationship and the attacks and the persecutions. And he gets into the mind of God and tries to free them from their condemnation. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land. 7 years of plenty had done gone. 2 years of famine, that's 9 years. He came out of prison when he was 30, you sold when you were 17 years. That's 13 years he was in prison. Then 9 years, 22 years, they stand in his side, in his presence. They all have become older. They all have been married. They all had wives and children standing there. They all have their own families. A lot of things that happened in those 22 years. As far as they were concerned, he was dead and gone. You see, for these 3 years had the famine been the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity near. Again, God sent me. Not you sold me. Not you throw me in the pit. God sent me. And to save your lives by a great deliverance. He sent me to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it is not you that sent me hither, but God. He's making that point. You didn't do me that. God planned that. And I could accept that. And I live in that. That's the place where he's abiding. And there was living in, we threw him in the pit. And he's living, no, God sent me to save you. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, Genesis 50, verse 19. This is 17 years after. This is 39 years now since they stole him. And 17 years after, he had revealed himself to them. Because his father came down into Egypt when he was 130 and died at 147. And this is taking place after they buried their father. So this is 17 years. After he had made himself known to them, he said, go and bring my father down here. Verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God's plan was to save. It was a plan of salvation God had in mind, and God had made me a savior in that plan of salvation. You get that? God has a plan of salvation in mind. Salvation means deliverance. Watch. Samson was raised up to save his people. Moses was raised up to save his people. Elijah was raised up to save his people. But Abraham was raised up to save a people. God still saves. God so loved that he gave. And when he gave, that one comes to do what? Saves. But as for you, thought you looking at God meant it unto good to bring the past this day and to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not. Trying to drive the fear away from him. I will nourish you. They was hoping that he condemned them and punished them. He said, I will nourish. I come to condemn, I come to nourish. Come to save and nourish much people alive. And he comforted them, nourished them and comforted them, and speak kindly unto them. Psalms 105. Verse 16. Think of what was in God's mind. They were all born into the world, into that family, but God had a plan for that family. You get that? And God had a role for everyone in that family. Is that right? You think God, the family of God is the same? Does God have a role for everyone in his family? Is God family, God body? Is God body many members? And does each member is designed to take a certain place or a certain function? And is that from Virgil to Leo, the entire Bible? That's right. Them 12 sons was the Bible from Virgil to Leo. 12 tribes. They had the land, the ox, the man, the eagle, the how they camp and everything else. What was in heaven was represented on earth. Is that the mystery today? Thou will be done on earth. That's right. Psalms 105, verse 16. Moreover, David, writing here in the Psalms, watch. He called for a famine upon the land. Talking about going on through the history of this great family. And then he picks up the time of Joseph. How God called for a famine upon the land. God called for Ivan. Yes, sir. on the land. Keep that in mind. Because that, through that, we meet Benjamin. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, who he sent before. That means David read Genesis. And in writing this, he expresses that inspiration, because that stood out to him when he was reading Genesis about Joseph. That meant David had learned that lesson. Nothing was happening to him in his life because he had pushed by Saul too, is that right? And he had to come to the throne too, is that right? And there were steps from the sheep go to the throne, is that right? Just like Joseph, is that right? Same thing. Same thing. So look how, when you walk in the world, you can look at examples in the Bible and understand your life. Was David elected, called, anointed, and placed? Was Joseph elected, called, anointed, and placed? Was they both deliverers to their people, to their brethren? That's right. That's the Bible. Was David a type of Christ? Was Joseph a type of Christ? Exactly. Is the bride part of Christ? Is Jesus in bride form? Whose feet they heard in fetters, he was laid in iron until the time that his word came. He had a word. He had a word he was living under. He had a word he was preaching. He had a word that a testimony, the spirit of prophecy was going forth. He had a word he was looking for the expectation in the time and season when it materialized and be made actual in his life and experience. Is that right? That word came to a channel that he had access to God. Is that right? Every time you see him speak when he's among his brothers, he was speaking that word. Is that right? That started the whole ball of rolling. That word that shook them up. Is that right? What shook up this nation? That word. What shook up this region? That word. But as Felix say, he say, I'm in the message for 20 years. He said, I can't remember. He said, 90, he said, no, 100%. I can't remember ever hear one good thing spoken for Brother Vic. He grew up among the brothers who killed him. And he grew up not seeing his brother all these years. But when he met him, he wasn't no little boy no more. He was a man with glory and power. A man of place, a man of authority, a man who opened his storehouse, a man who could give out the corn, a man who could save and deliver. Every true minister is a Joseph. He better have corn. He better know the storehouse where his food stop. Did the prophet store food for the famine? Is the food that say, get the bride ready in the storehouse? He didn't say, take this sort of food and feed the people. That's right. Glory. You meet a true minister, you went through prison. Become a prisoner. Not natural prison. Confinement, stripped of self-will. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him. Even the rule of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, rule of all his substance, to bind his princes with pleasure and teach his saints wisdom. He could bind and loose. Amen. May love doesn't always go. Remember, Joseph the Savior, God sent for to save. But David picked up the famine. God called for the famine. The famine was part. The vision could not be fulfilled if the famine was needed. The famine was a specific part of division. That crisis to affect the place was a special part in the plan of God. There was no meeting. It was the famine that broke up the security and bring them out in the open and make them remember the sins that they suppress and hide and bury in their lives for 22 years. But in that meeting, they're going to be called to remembrance of the sin in that meeting. Because they can't be saved Now catch this. The saving is not the corn. That saved the outward man. But they had unforgotten, long forgotten, and unconfessed sin in their life. That they had to confess to be free. Is that right? God can give you all the food you want, all the clothes you want, all the shelter you want this morning. And you have long forgotten and unconfessed in your life, you're dead as a doornail. Because to be free, that soul has to be set free. Is that right? Who are these men? These men are not just wicked men. Oh, sure, the devil might have used them. But get this. These men were born to be leaders in Israel. Here's Levi with instruments of cruelty in his tent. But in the mind of God, the priesthood is to come out of this man. Then Judah, but compromising and under pressure and going along with the light to deceive the father, even though at one time he's trying to help him too. Good and evil. But the thing is, he too had the kingship locked up inside of him. And all the mother tribe had prophets. Amen. Like Jonah, the son of Amittai from Zebulun by the sea coast. Amen. Like Zephaniah, different ones coming up to Amos and them. Coming up to the other tribes with thus said the Lord. So among them was prophets, priests, and kings. Born to take the place as elders that men would camp under their standard. And a man with no other inheritance camping by the father's house. And look at the condition of those men. And yet they was carrying seed. What did he say? To save a posterity. In other words, all you have seed, all you're bringing for children, that these children become houses in Israel. These children have an inheritance in Canaan land one day, where the Redeemer will come, where the resurrection will take place. And you have to lay up for the future. Otherwise, if you lay up sin, your sin will go down to your children. But if you lay up righteousness, they will inherit something. That's why the early fathers stood and gave their life. Because they understood, if we compromise and we live halfway, by the time we come to the last days, no, but all our sin will come down. But because they live and they walk in the word, our heart can be turned back to the faith of the fathers. Not the unbelief of the fathers, the faith of the fathers. The fathers had a faith. That faith was the revelation of Jesus Christ. That same message that brought them to live in union, to walk in His presence and display power, that Paul lay as a wise master builder, that foundation had the same Zerubbabel has brought back the headstone with shouting of grace. The same message of grace come back to the children. And in that word is a new body. In that word is the millennium. In that word is the new heaven and new earth. Is that right? Oh my. Because the fathers knew at the last trump the dead in Christ shall be raised. The fathers knew we shall all sleep but we shall all be changed. The fathers knew this earthly house will be tabernacle with itself. There's another one waiting. The fathers knew that we only have the earnest of the full complete redemption. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The fathers knew that I could do all things through Christ that strengthened me. The fathers knew that great thing He inside of them that He was in the world. And that is come back to the children in the last days. That same message has come back to the children in the last days. That there will be a powerful church on the earth in this hour. Walking in that sphere. Living in this realm. Living under this influence. People that will wake up to recognize how to please God. What pleases God. How to stay in union with God. What to look to, how to live your life in God's provided way. Not just trying to plan this and influence that, and the political world competing for your mind. The religious world competing for your mind. The business world competing for your mind. Everybody wants to project their influence to you because Satan is powerless without a body. And he cannot create no body to live in it. Because you have powers to create. Only God can create. So Satan has to try to find a way to plug into your system, disarm you, amen, throw you out of focus, invade you, bypass your defenses, penetrate your fortifications, and get into the throne of your life. Amen. And set up, build up his strongholds inside of you and work through you to accomplish his will. Amen. But God has dropped the word down that has opened up to us things about ourselves that we needed to know to fight the greatest battle ever fought. Hallelujah! The greatest battle ever fought. We have so many are losing their lives by making the wrong decisions, by seeing things the wrong way, by coming under the wrong influence, by being diverted and manipulated and exploited. Sexploited until he sow his seeds of ambition and deceit and competition and strife and contention inside of them. Because they lose the battle in the mind. They fail to discern who the enemy is. They fail to discern how he fights. What tactics he uses, that they don't stand against the wiles of the enemy in the evil day. They fight against flesh and blood, when the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. But God has sent an overcomer in this age to train a people. And he brought a message. And you put on the whole armor of God. Wisdom for the faith. The greatest battle ever fought is ready to take place. Amen. How can I overcome? He began to teach us the tactics in warfare, the contest. Oh my. Getting the church ready in this hour. And now as we've been through many hard knocks and learned hard and suffered many hardships ourselves, not keeping that guard up, getting knocked out. Amen. You know, trying to rope a dope and all kinds of different things, get thrown out of the ring. Amen. Not getting enough combinations. Not being able to take a punch, lacking endurance, can't go the distance in the fight, can't go toe to toe with the devil when the time comes, trying to dance and run along the ring. But then God begins to show to us, amen, and we have to stop all that, and we have to undergo the training, and we have to submit to the test in time, and we have to get rugged, amen, to do battle with the enemy. Glory be to God in the highest. That's where it comes to, friends. It comes to a place now where you are not just coming to church and conscious and hope you make it and you're tired and your mind, boy, I have a migraine. No, not at all. That's my place in the Word. I'm anointed. I'm commissioned. God opened my understanding. I sat in His presence. He spoke to me. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. Oh, glory to God. I walk with, he walks with me and talk with me. A long life, narrow way. He guides me, he holds my hand. He helps me. I don't see myself as no but a master with a big sledgehammer to beat me, and I'm a slave. I'm a slave mentality. No, he's a father, my son. He's a bridegroom, the bride. Hallelujah. I can ask anything in his name. I begin to understand my security. I begin to grow in the knowledge of what he has done for me. I learn to believe what he says. I learned to take it at his word, regardless of how I feel. I begin to accept it, not how you, whether you feel it, it's whether you believe it. Hallelujah! And I come to the place to believe it. And when I get in licks and I'm going wrong, I don't feel bad, and get bent out of shape, I go back and talk to him. Father, you are my trainer, what am I doing wrong? Show me, because I want to overcome. I don't want to live in sin. I want to overcome. So I get knocked down. What am I doing wrong, Lord? Am I not showing them combinations and, you know, a certain coordination? Is my timing off? Do I need more speed, Lord? Amen. Do I need to, maybe I'm not seeing his punches. I can't telegraph his punches. I can't move up in time. I let him corner me all the time. He cut off the ring on me. Lord, teach me a strategy. Because you wasn't so. Paul and them wasn't so. There's something wrong with me. Let me get this law. Let me get a hold of this key. You know why? Because when he called you, he showed you your end before you start. He did it for Abraham. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll give you this whole land. But you gotta go through this. You gotta put away your father. You gotta put away Lot. You gotta put away Ishmael. You gotta be willing to offer Isaac. All that was in between. But God showed him the end. before you start. God showed Joseph, they'll bow down to you, but God didn't show him Potiphar's house and the prison house. God didn't show him them things, he dung in the pit being sold for money. God didn't show him that. He had to go through that, but God showed him the end. Great glory and power and dominion. Amen. And so God has dealt with us in that way. But now we find ourselves in the in-between part. Amen. And now things going wrong, and it seems like an out alignment many times with what we confess in the beginning. But the thing you have to get back and know God spoke. And that's how he deals with all of his children. Because these men are put for examples, and he's the same yesterday and forever. So if he did Moses' life that way, if he did Abraham's life that way, if he did Joseph's life that way, then I am the same. Because one elect, which is God's genes, they are part of God. And God only have one way to grow this life. And these are the laws and the principles. These are the conditions necessary for the cultivation of this bright seed. I don't get worried when I get tests. I get worried when I ain't getting no tests. Why? Because knowledge is quickening inside of you. I want to know why the devil ain't want to fight me and stand in my way. And why the devil get in trouble. Am I popcorn? Am I some big marshmallow for the devil? Am I some laughing, plating for Satan? That he don't even, feel intimidated when he see me passing? And I come with a cloud and the seals and the eggs and the thunders and the vials and the pillar of fire and the second cycle and I ain't get no tests. Oh, God forbid. No sticks in the tree and I'm supposed to be so laden with fruit. And as the first stick come, I get bent out of shape and I'm planning for them and I'm going to do for them. And if you God forbid. Amen. No, you're learning. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Getting more power than I ever dreamed. How many can say that? That they are learning to lean. Oh, you take a few hard punches, but you're learning. You're entering a little deeper. And as you see the benefits and the value are going deeper, you say, oh, deeper yet I pray and higher every day and wiser, blessed Lord, in that precious holy word, plant my roots deep, Lord. Because why? You understand the ways of the potter. In this season, he revealed to you, he's what? He's the potter. He's the potter. He's the vine dresser. Is that right? Oh, he nails down that vine so he can hold it in the presence of his son. He put it up, he busts up relationships because he's bringing that fruit to maturity. Oh, man. Nothing going wrong, brother, sister, this morning. God wants to raise you up and fill your thinking. Amen. That you can say, God, let that happen to me. When Abishai drew that sword, I cut that dog head off. You spit on my king, you. David said, leave him alone. God tell him, do me that. He can't give me that. God can't do it to me. God didn't give me that for a test. Amen. They walked in that realm. Look at David writing. God did send him. God called for the famine. He didn't say no devil send no famine. God called for the famine. Who bring the hurricane that belongs to Job's house? God. God said, do it. Take the house. Take the family. Take it. Who bring the sickness that hit Job? God. God said, touch your skin, but don't touch your life. God. The book of Job is open, showing us the unseen world, how Satan is ordered, his boundaries established. God put limitations upon him. He can't do what he wants, friends. Oh, my. God had that watchdog, the moon standing there, and all the billions and trillions of gallons of water in the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, coming so. And this poor old man, house right there by that sea, and this thing coming here, and you're going to wash over the house. But the moon said, that's far enough. Low tide now. Change to low tide and go back out. Glory be to God in the highest. But in Grenada, we went and see big million-dollar house mash up and some little old board house just shift a little bit soon. Because even they have intelligence. With God, we're talking about things. The God in the Bible. He have two gods as far as I know. Only have one. I have a lot of false gods that people try to make a God and he's not no God. He can't talk and can't speak and can't do nothing. You have no power, nothing at all. There's one true and living God, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we speak of Joseph, the Savior, because Christ is this Joseph. And Christ in you makes you Joseph. Amen. Because how many know it wasn't Joseph saving? How many know it was Christ in Joseph? How many know it was Christ in Abraham? How many know it was Christ in Isaac? Christ in Jacob? Christ in Joseph? Christ in Moses? Is that right? It was the identified Christ of all ages. Only one from eternal life. Oh my. Glory. Then God always uses man in his plan of salvation. Was Boaz a savior? Was Boaz a redeemer? Did Boaz redeem my inheritance? Did he purchase a Gentile bride? Did he do that by virtue of being kinsman to Naomi? Outside of that, he couldn't have access. It is by what he was, the tribe he was in, put him as kinsman to Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. Is that right? That's how God's economy is set up. God's kingdom economy is set up by laws. So Christ in you, the Savior, the Lamb for the house. Was Joseph the Lamb for his house? Was he done before his shepherd? He didn't open his mouth and the sword of Peter silver? Is that right? Oh man. Could the Lamb save without being slain? He had to suffer. Could he intercede without becoming flesh? Look at Jesus. Get the picture. That Jesus in the house. Growing up as a little boy. Part of Jesus. Attribute of Jesus. Spoonful of the ocean, Jesus. In that boy. Isn't spoonful of the ocean you? You choose where you want to live? Maybe you make the choice in your own mind, but who influenced that? Who worked the events out to bring the past that could take place? How many put them in the right of the order of the Lord? How many are not within man to direct his own steps? What was happening at the end, Joseph was now understanding by experience and revelation God's plan he had for his life and how it worked out. Because in one season it was only a message. He preached and he only testified about dreams. Things being revealed to him that he couldn't manufacture in his mind. But as he kept walking and seeing events unfolding, it dawned upon him. How many of Brother Abraham grew to know he was Malachi 4:5? How many of Donnie Pelafa come over the crib? It didn't say he's Malachi 4:5. When the angel sent him on the field, it didn't tell him he's Malachi 4:5. And when he understood it was that, he knew he had to open the mysteries. And without the mystery being open, the church can't have no restoration. Because the reason the church fell the way it fell, they can't come to the palm, they can't come to the locust, ate down the mysteries. And the truth is lost. And he fought back to bring that truth back. And with the restoration of the world, there's a restoration of power. Is that right? You hear Brother Biscuit give the testimony. They're driving in the car coming, they see the moose, looking for the moose. Moose crossing the road. And he says, Brother Eddie, he says, what do you think of this last day ministry? Do you believe it like that of Elijah in the Bible? What do you think? But he didn't know he couldn't see. But he didn't. So far he was getting trouble with the Trinity, the serpent seed, and other things, and all the rain and the adjustment. He said, well, Brother, I guess maybe so. He asked his wife, he said, honey, am I called? So, Bill, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He's a human being. He's a man. Didn't John say, go and ask him if he's the Messiah? After John pronounced him being the Messiah? God have it that will test you and try you. But you have to overcome your bumps. You have to cross your hurdles. You just can't get discouraged and get confused. No, you hold on. Because something in you make you hold on to things that bless you and that God revealed to you and God showing the world. You hold to that without understanding everything and you're walking. And God unfold more when you're walking the light. Watch more unfold. Is that right? Because there's a power in deceit to transform itself. To manifest all the potential. And this word that's been planted in you. How many know your new body in that word? How many know your Eden beauty back in that word? How many know the dominion you had in the beginning back in that word? How many know the fellowship with God you had back in that word? And so we can only understand water baptism right now. Because that's the first little stem of the seed life growing out. Water baptism. At one time, that's all I knew myself. But look what I know today. Look, I keep walking. Look at battles that come true. And look at the interpretation that passed through the mess over the years. And my mind is as clear as clear can be. I have no confused mind. My mind is muddled up. I walk through all that. You know why? Because no matter how great people was, who walk, who hunt, who fish, who do what, I held what in my heart when I saw predestination in the world. I know God is no respecter of no persons. And I held that word in my heart. I didn't care what I grew up in. A cane field, had to cut my washi kong with my toe outside when you get big. Parents can buy a new one, they cut the front and stick the toe out. And because the soul ain't finished yet. Is that right? How many know them days? Is that a washi kong, right? You cut the toe out. Your foot go too big for it now and your toe squeezing. You cut the toe out. You make a kind of washi kong sandals. Too big toe lap over, you're still going. When God called Brother Sammy, you're a plastic shirt breaking up. And he lined with Brother Joe because he have no clothes to dress and go around no place. And the police looking for Joe. And Sammy now, he have no clothes. So circumstance forced them together. But Joe needed what Sammy had. So Sammy now, chained with Joe, telling Joe spiritual things. That's right. Teaching them to read. Sharing things with them about the Bible. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Little minute things, but the hand of God, the fingerprint of God. Moses, little boy born here, but his parents know he born to be a deliverer. He born to be a deliverer. And to be a deliverer, you must catch the mystery of the slain lamb. He caught it, is that right? He must catch the mystery of broken and leavened bread. He caught it, is that right? He must catch the mystery of the Red Sea and where the enemies have been drunk, is that right? He must catch the mystery of the brass serpent lifted up, is that right? To deliver! Man wants to deliver, they don't know divine healing? In the atonement? Man wants to deliver, they ain't know all the powers and the enemy that had you in bondage that you were born into, destroying the Red Sea? Man ain't know about the male ram without spot or blemish and he wants to deliver? Oh my, that is the family we come from. We come from that family, friends. Those mysteries was always in that family from the very beginning. It was written in the heavens. Virgo, bringing forth the corn of wheat in the heavens. All the way until Leo the lion come in the last days to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are in that family. Seven seals open and tell you another Trinidadian. Seven seals open and tell you that just dirt, Trinidad dirt. But inside is eternal life that never had a beginning or end. That's why the Holy Ghost come to you. That's why when you left the organization, the rest of the organization stayed, but you come out. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called you by name. All the rest of the dead stay there, but you came forth. Don't forget them things. That was part of your journey. And he did it that way to tell you you're special. Who run after bingo and run after bazaar and run after political party election time. But something in you keep separate from the world, and you're being criticized, and you're being pressured, and you can't explain these things to them, and you have nobody to fellowship with, and you're getting lonely, and you're coming along anyhow, but then God begins to cross your path with people just like you, with the same experience, to let you know you might be a funny bird in that chicken house, in that chicken yard. You might be a funny bird, but you was eagle from the egg. There was something real inside of you. Always had something special and different about you. But now you understand in the Bible. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those you foreknew, you predestined. Those you predestined, many called. And you are the call according to his purpose. And all things work together for good. Joseph was preaching Romans 8, 28 and 29 to them. He said, you think you send me? Don't get in trouble. You do me that. God send me. All that work together for good to save your life. That proved to you I'm the Savior. Not just I've seen human vision. I could take your persecution and forgive you. I could take your conspiracy and still break back through that and reveal myself. Amen. Hallelujah. And show no. Walk in deliverance from condemnation. I will nourish you. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. He overcoming evil with good. He overcoming evil with good. He is without revenge. Rejection and persecution does inspire revenge. A man after coming to something eternal where love suffereth long. Where love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Where under all kind of provocation is not easily provoked. That had to be designed. That had to be designed. Because the old nature under the first birth, the law is eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You get what I'm saying? So that had to be Christ. Because Christ is the new birth, but is that right? Christ is a mystery. Christ being revealed. Oh my. Boy, Abraham is a savior. Did Lot know Abraham was a savior? He didn't know it one time. Abraham lived from Dan to Beersheba. Slay the kings that had him in captivity. Bring him back to his right place and his possessions. Is that right? Then he went down again. Then from saving her, Abraham become what? From spoiling principalities and powers to deliver him. Is that right? And Melchizedek brought bread and wine, the body and the blood. And that work of spoiling principalities and powers brought redemption to you and your family and your possessions. Because Lot and his family and his possessions was in captivity under the kings. Is that right? And Abraham was Christ doing that. Then Abraham, from his purchasing work, from his spoiling principalities work, he went into a mediatorial work. For the same money, pay the price for interceding for him now. Oh, man. You mean a natural man in the Old Testament? Amen. Before the new birth was given in the new covenant? You mean to say a man under animal sacrifice? Could live out that work, could live out that bodily kindness, but I could spoil principalities and powers, could put his life on the line for his brethren. You mean Boaz could jeopardize all his inheritance for a Moabite? You mean Moses born out of persecution and then begin to find out he is born to deliver his brethren who born in bondage? There were saviors. There were deliverers. Because the life was Christ. And the life was Christ. Then Christ can change his form but not his nature. Christ has to be the same yesterday and forever. You are his hands. How many of you are his hands today? How many of you are his mouth? How many know you are his feet? How many know he walked in and through you? Then what is Christ doing? What does he do? He's saving people. He's redeeming people. Is that right? Healing people. How many Bible times the apostles healed them? In the Bible. Sure. Many times it's written in the Bible. But it's Christ in them doing it. Sometimes the Spirit speaks and let you see your man from the outside. Then the Spirit show you God from the inside. Because you know what it is? It's deity and humanity in a union. Deity and humanity in a union. Your soul is deity. My brothers, my sisters, in this hot building this morning while you're fanning and you're sweating under this world here. Know that there's something in you more powerful than the atomic bomb inside of you. A doctor has put a stethoscope on his ear, put by where that thing lives, and hear tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock inside of the ear. Boop, 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 boop. Some of you heart by the boop. See? But inside of the air, where that song coming from? Somewhere right inside of the air. What his stethoscope can't pick up, and the X-ray machine can't pick up, and his cardiogram can't pick up, and the ultrasound can't pick up, is the throne of God. It's the throne of God. And this gene of eternal life, this subconscious, this soul, this part of God, this seed that can grow a man to the stature of a perfect man into a manifested son, a doctor and place, an amateur of God, is laid inside of the air. And God sent the type of water for this age. 7 showers. Hallelujah! 7 showers. Or in 2 rains. You get that? To bring you to maturity. To bring you to a mature grain. And men of vision. Working with that. Putting you back in your new house. That you bypass. And in this house, no Ivan, any brother, any sister, any uncle can move you from there. You're going to land where there's no hurricanes. Praise his mighty name. Oh, sir. The point I'm just fooling around here trying to make is a savior. Joseph was a savior. Moses was a savior. How many know Elijah was a savior? When Elijah come, a king, Ahab, followed his wife Jezebel. Is that right? We had the religion of the serpent. And he threw the whole land into debt under drought. Is that right? And that came on the land because the man and his wife. Is that correct? But when Elijah came walking, he came to do what? Remove that curse. He slay a lamb. He brought the rain back. He ascended to heaven. Is that right? He sent the mantle back. Did Jesus do all them things? When Jesus came, did Adam the king follow Jezebel wife Eve and throw the whole creation to death? And when Jesus came, he came to do what? Remove the curse. Is that right? And he make the sacrifice. Is that right? And then the rains came back. He ascended to heaven. The robe came back. That's right. Were 7,000 hearts turned back when Elijah came? Yeah. Was there a restoration when Elijah came? Yeah. Was the curse from the land when Elijah came? Yeah. He's a savior. Yeah. Man was living out the mystery of Christ. Now let me ask you this now. If men in the Old Testament, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, after the sacrifice was made through the shedding of the blood, when God is above us, live out this mystery, what about when the Holy Ghost comes in the church now? Because remember, Christ is the substance of better things to come. The law is only a shadow of the good things to come. And all the good things was in Christ. But where is Christ today? Christ in you is the hope of glory. In that day, you know what? I knew and you knew. And great is he that is in you. Is that right? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Is the Holy Spirit different to Jesus? Is the Holy Ghost the third person in Trinity? And Jesus the second person in Trinity? Or is it one God changing form? God above us, God with us, and God in us. Is this the our God in us? Is he the substance? Was he the one in all them, in part, in part, in part? Does he come into fullness in the bride in this hour? Right. That's about established. I think now all of you should see that clear. Then if Christ is in you this morning, is he saving in you? Is people getting deliverance? When you see a man and see what you do, condemn him by the law, by Christ. That means we can condemn the man, but can't save him. Christ could save him. Grace brought the Holy Ghost. The law had condemnation, but grace brought deliverance. The law showed you a need for a savior. Now get this. If Joseph is a savior and he saved his people, then they need something to show them the need for a savior. Does God send a savior when you don't see a need for a savior? How many of man has tried to save themselves? Did Adam and Eve, after they fell, went and made aprons? What did God do? He said, you are saved. Man can't save himself. God had to kill a lamb. Is that right? To save them. In the time of Judges, when they dig dens and caves and these things, in Gideon's time, trying to save the 7 Midianites, was that how they get saved? Gideon came and the angel told him, offer the burnt offering. Is that right? To bring salvation, because God had to save man always. Man cannot save himself. So when somebody's being saved, how many of you by the food that preaching people are being saved? Amen. And how shall they preach except it be sent? Don't say that? Amen. How shall they hear the preacher? How shall they preach except it be sent? And by the food that preaching, that the preacher preaches, they are saved. Amen. That's right. That's the Bible. Amen. See, sometimes everybody tries to put everything in the Hoffman head. The whole plan was not in the Hoffman head. Otherwise, we're not finished and finished. That is what he had to be purchased working. So he died and he put our body in heaven. And did he stay in heaven? No, he came back in the form of the Holy Ghost and he went into people. Is that right? And now Jesus was in Peter and Jesus was in Paul and Jesus was in John. And when they asked Peter, what shall we do to be saved? Saving grace has come out of Peter through preaching. Hallelujah! The word convict them. The word show them their sin. The word show them the way, the provided way to have the sins remitted and come to the Holy Ghost. Is that right? This hidden power, Joseph's hidden power, especially last week, this Christ that is in you, that comes to this new birth, this Savior, this hidden power, this Savior has saving power. Could you get blood out of that turnip? Why? Turnip have no blood in it, right? Could you get healing out of that post? And the radio? No. So if healing is to come from somebody who don't have no healing in them, the healer would have to come in that place to impart the healing blessings. When they woke up, the man gave beautiful sat there. What did he say? He said, look on us. Did Jonah look at the temple? In the Old Testament. Did he come up from the belly of the fish? Did this man look at another temple? Well, Peter and John that temple. The God who was dwelling in Solomon's temple came and lived in Jesus. I built the tabernacle. Then came and lived in the church. I put the rock, I'll build my church. You are Joseph. You are Joseph. Christ in you. Christ in you. You mean salvation is happening in your home and you don't see family can't see it? You mean healing is happening in your home and they can't see the healer? You mean comfort and nourishment coming in the home and they can't see the comfort and the nourishing you? Is it because somebody you don't know how to release that power? How to let it loose? How many know in the atmosphere there's electricity? Did Benjamin Franklin discover that? Did Thomas Edison build up from a wire to conduct that? Has humanity benefited from the work of these two men? Was there power in Jesus that raised the dead, healed the sick, forgive sins, calm nature and everything? Did that power flow into a church that the works I do shall I do also? Because I live, you shall live also. Because if God with you right now, God was with us, but God was in him. You get that? Now he tell Philip when he meets the Father. But then when that veil went away, that God came in them. And to those who were around them, God was with them. But God was in them, the church. And those who were around the church, God was with them. That complicated? No, you can't think them thoughts well without the new birth, you know. He was saying, you can't think them thoughts without the new birth. Not just hearing it, you know. And realize the explanation clear. Because you forget after 5 minutes of the Holy Ghost. But when it's in you, and you walk in a room and you know God is in me, and I ain't coming to make that a boast, that's his plan. To be in a people to finish his work. And I so I'm thankful that I'm elected and called and anointed and placed in that body that carries this life. God to be made manifest in the virgin. This is the secret. The word is in the bride. And she knew it is he in her fulfilling his own work at this time. And the angel say, get them to believe you. He said, no, I know you believe Jesus, you know. And I know you believe the Holy Ghost. But that is not the question. You get that? He said the greatest problem God ever had in all ages is to get one man to believe the next man. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Because they believe God as Jews. They didn't believe Baal, they believe God. We father Abraham, we believe God. We are Abraham's seed. We have the Bible and the prophets. We have the covenant signed in our body. But when you look at Jesus, you see a man, Joseph and Mary's son. And that man is saying, no, you believe in God, but you have to believe in me to get the benefit of this. When the prophet came now, he quoted that scripture and said, the angel tell me, get them to believe me. Moses said, Lord, they wouldn't believe me. They believe you, promised Abraham deliverance. And they're looking for that, but they don't believe me. Because they reject me, saying, who made you judge and rule over me? And I don't run from my life. God said, I'm sending you. Because you are their savior. I'm sending you. And here I'm sending you. How did he send them? He went in them. How did he send you? He went in them. Behold, I send you Elijah. As the Father sent me, so send I you. He come in Elijah. How many know Revelation 10 1 is a villain? Revelation 10 7? How many of them say, I can't heal? He said, Dr. Best. He calls himself, he wouldn't call himself divine savior because he preached salvation. He said, neither would I call myself divine healer because I preach divine healing. Only one healer and savior you have. But I'll have to agree with you, I have the Holy Ghost. I receive that birth. And I see my name in the book. And the angel told me, I'm born in the earth for this. All God's children born in the earth for something?
All God's children is elected? In the bride? Those in the bride is elected? All God's children in the bride had eternal life before they get the Holy Ghost? I just want to check. Some of you look at me like if I talk about one thing and you do the next thing. When your theology can't slide into the word, something wrong, you know. This is only skin, friend. How many in the glory are going to be on badger skin? Man, look and see the badger skin. I know one time that badger life behind that. I ain't taking no chance. I got to be more badger life. That was the badger life, friend. That was the Holy Ghost behind that. That's the kind of glory behind badger skin. The new birth, get rid of the badger. Put the glory of God behind. My. Christ knew the lamb for the house. Bring salvation, bring deliverance from sin and condemnation and death in the hour of judgment. You get that? Bring in deliverance from sin and judgment and these things in the hour of judgment. Quickly. I can call the missions now, you know. I love that. See, Joseph tested brothers and let me know. See if there was change. When did I get change yet? He said, okay, keep this one in the prison. Go and bring your smaller brother here for me. Then he put the cup in the brother bag. Because that he going to intensify the pressure. What is he doing? What is he doing? He is going to bring them to a place to look deep within themselves. Because they were living their lives going along after carrying bitterness, carrying strife, carrying contention, commit sin, bury it, shut out their mind 22 years past and living normal. Eating and drinking and wearing and that mulam normal as ever. But they can't come into their ordained position. Genesis 49, the Father is going to speak and reveal to them things about themselves they never knew. Judah, you, the scepter will not depart from you. Wow! Levi. Priesthood coming from you. Oh my God. And I am Simeon, do all them bad things. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now he brings me grace. What was he going to do? Stand as an intercessor. The most cruel one is going to call as an intercessor because he knows the condition of man so he can intercede for man. Didn't Jesus have to come and put on flesh and come and suffer on the earth so he can know man weakness to know to help us in our time of temptation? Is that the Bible? So do you realize God has higher purposes behind your trials? And God wants to elevate you in your thinking, not to look at your life ordinary and look at your life through institution and church membership, but God wants you to live and walk in relationship with Him, conscious and enlightened with the revelation, and becoming more and more like Him. You want to be like Jesus? How many want to be like Jesus? Oh, to be like Thee, to be like Thee. Empty me, Lord, so you can fill me. Okay, quickly. Let's jump into Genesis 42 quickly. I'm going to try to... As Elisa said, take him bus out over here in the next place. When they drive in Grenada, you know. He told me, he said, we pass him, we go bus out in that road. We go bus out in this road here. So, I want to take this scripture here and maybe bus out down here to the end. And we can get you going on the road by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Lord is wonderful, eh? Make you feel a little relaxed in the heat. Don't say, just have to relax a little bit. You know, get to relax a little bit. No, the heat can get you uncomfortable. But I'm trying to take a shortcut. See them bus out, talk to me, shortcut me, take in. So you drop down. You like that, eh?
Oh my. Now 40, 42, 43, and 44, Genesis 42, 43, and 44, is very, very important. In there, it does not show too much. The emphasis is not much on Joseph, though it is, as it is his brothers. Because the famine begins now, and when the famine begins, then that was the starting of a new season. The famine, the crisis, bring an end to one season and ushered in a next one. And from 42, 43, and 44, God is going to bring these men who has been affected by the famine. He busts up the comfort zone to bring them out so he could get to their hearts. And the sin that they had long forgotten, my goodness, God help us. A lot of us forget a lot of things. We suppress them, put them away. And the prophet said, and in between that, we begin plenty of confession, do you know? But we are making the one God wants. And the kind God wants. And the depth God wanted from. But God knows all these men doing this, and this power has to hold on them. Get it now? Because of the unconscious of the higher purpose they're born for. Levi, you're born for a higher purpose, but you don't know it. Judah, you're born for a higher purpose. Reuben, you're born for a higher purpose, and you don't know it. Reuben, if you don't only know that boy, you ain't going in your father's couch and defile your father's couch. Judah, if you only know that boy, you ain't playing politics with them children them and Tamar. You get what I'm saying? Simeon and Levi, if you had known better, you wouldn't have planned that revenge upon Shechem and them boy and make your father name to stink. But you didn't know. You're walking all unconscious of what you're really born for. God tell your great-grandfather Abraham, I will have a great nation. God show Moses, your prophet, up there. Did Moses come from Levi? Is he a prophet? That's right. Priest come there, prophet come from there. Now watch. And Moses saw in heaven this standard. He said, Judah, the land is your standard. Ephraim, the ox is your standard. Reuben, the man is your standard. Dan, the eagle is your standard. He said, you are the match first, Judah. You are to come afterwards. The prophets have to teach them things about their lives they didn't know. You see, we're born for things. We're born for greater purposes. And if Satan could cut you off from that, blind you from that, tie up your lies, confuse you, make you miss these things, for years you're going to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle because you're not watching it through the eye you're supposed to watch it with. You're watching it through desire. You're watching it through what other people are doing. They're doing that, I should do that too. So why I can't have that? So why that wrong? So no, you different, you're not like them. They have foot and hand and ears and mouth like you and go to the same school. And they live in a house like you and maybe nicer than you too. But inside, you're different to them. Where the real you come down. One is God seed, one is soap and seed. One is believer, one is make believer, one is unbeliever. You're different. One is elect, one is non-reprobate. One is a vessel of honor, one is a vessel of dishonor. In the potter's mind. One is eagle, one is chicken. One is wheat, and one is tears. And that you get close. Real close. Because Abraham and Isaac was in the same house. Ishmael and Isaac was in the same house. Esau and Jacob was in the same womb. The dove and the crow was in the same ark. Jesus and Judas was in the same tribe. Cain and Abel was in the same womb. That could get close. So that's why you have to have that inside teacher. Inside teacher.
still small voice that be talking inside the air. Never shut that down. When you shut that down, that's what they did. They hardened the conscience. Because a man is not made to lie. And they sell the boy and lie to the father. Because they couldn't handle the jealousy and the envy. These was passions in them, ambitions in them, and they felt he was like more privileged and more blessed than them. So they begin to get contentious towards him. You know that happened with people. You have to learn that you have an allotted portion before the foundation of the world that God ordained for you, and nobody could take your place. You have to learn and trust God to lead you and bring you into the place He has reserved for you and teach you how to come into it. And you'll have to fight battles to possess it. And He'll teach you the warfare to possess it. Did He teach Judah how to possess his inheritance? Did He teach Caleb in Judah how to possess his? Did He teach David to fight his battle before he came to the throne? Did He inherit the throne? When to take Jericho and Ai, did God give instruction to fight the battles to possess the inheritance that was predestined to obtain even while he was in Egypt? It was laying there. That when the mother gave birth, a spot was marked out there for them. Is that right? And God had a ministry with discernment in the hour to tell them where the place was. To preach them into the place. The things that we're going to fight and take at. You getting them, touch? You come in this life and everything is already prepared for you. Life does not consist of the abundance of things a man possess. You go, what shall it suffer a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? But God needs to be content with his great gain. And God have a portion for you. I mean, tell you power of the son with the inheritance. He had a portion when he took him into Canaan land. He had a portion for everyone. God had dealt every man a measure. And God have gifted you in relation to your measure and your place. Is that right? You are previously marked out by a design. You don't have to compete. What you need is not power to compete. You need humility to be led by God. You need submission to let go and let God. Because He's the author and the finisher. And your confidence is He has begun the good work in you. He'll perform it even until that day. And He knows to bring you step by step by step into it. How did I know this was my portion to preach you with? Look where I was going. Paul said, I want to be a trapper. Look where he ended up. You get what I'm saying? David fathered them, put him all down in the back of the house, do all the menial work, while they been walking around there. And when they come down on the king, they even call for him. They see him as no king material. But God ordained experience to bring him to the forefront. And give him a place that no man could take. Is that right? And he said, the lines are falling upon me in pleasant places. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance. Korah tried to take a place and get 250 princes to back him up. And when the time comes, God tell Moses, put your honor on Joshua. Is that right? Balaam wanted a place and then he sell a gift and make a market for it, thinking you're coming to the place. I end up under Israel's sword. Judas didn't recognize the place he had, and he tried to get aligned with the Pharisees to get money. Yet Paul could say, at the end of such a ministry, I covet no man's silver or apparel or gold. You get what I'm saying? You want your heart to get so peaceful and quiet where you can hear God's voice from the throne talking to you and instructing you. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength in this hour. In that hour before the unveiling of Joseph and before Genesis 49, where out of the mouth of the prophet father, who had the message of grace, he revealed to them, every man, their place. Naphtali like a hind let loose. Judah a lion's whelp. Dan like an adder in the path. And he's placing them. And now they're understanding the mystery of their life. As God saw them. Not what they tried to do. Not what they tried to do. But these men, before they could come into that place, get it? Before these men could come into that place, God had a famine. I'm going to read it for you just now. And God's purpose in that famine was to awaken the consciences of these men. Because these men's consciences went to sleep. You know the prophet about the woman who suppressed the thing? And when she was dying, that soul come back. She tried to live the lie all in years. See, but when you're dying, your spirit will break up. Your body is dying. When you grieve, your spirit break up and go. And your soul come back. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's where he said the deal with the hypo needle. It stopped much at deathbed confession. No, they call it mercy killing. Man suffering. And when people, he said, what has caused them? This is just hysterical. You know, sedate them. They're hysterical, doctor. They're hysterical. Inject them. And they get them back quiet. He said, what is happening as they get ready to leave this body, they begin to see the unseen realm. And they begin to see them demons and hell and realize they ain't saved. And they start to get terrified. And the doctor can't see the unseen realm, they don't know what's going on. So he's coming now, give them the hypodermic needle, sedate them. I said, doctor, we thank you. You're well took care of her. We didn't know how we couldn't sleep for weeks with her like in the house. And she only screamed and talking all kind of nonsense and everything else. And you know, it shocked us some things we how many times? I don't want to say this. I might be misunderstood. But what happened is you can't take some religion and paint it over our old nature and go along for years like that. When Jesus came and said, why is the pocket full of dead men bones? No, many times people think absence and no judgment of something mean free from it, oh God, don't mind. And they kind of think, well, God, forget that. All the way Jacob run and all the way go through. Did you come and meet Esau right there? Was Esau the door he had to pass through to get back into the land? So, when he broke the covenant to the Midianites, the Gibeonites, and the time when famine hit the land, and David said, what? 3 years? Something wrong here. He went to God. God said, because of Saul's sin. When he inherit the kingdom, he inherit Saul's sin in the kingdom. And inherit them curses and them plagues on the land. That was unatoned for. How many when Saul himself raised back up Samuel, trying to get a favor? He said, no, since that time, that day, and point him after years in his life. He said, there that day when you tear the skin, you are finished there, you are enemy to God. He said, you know God give the kingdom to that man, the man you're hunting down. He has no tongue in his head right now in a cave. But God gave the throne. He said, you can't get nothing. If tomorrow you will be here with me. I mean, that's the Bible. Here we get to know. Saul tried to go on and live like that didn't mean that day. And the next time he talked to Samuel after that day was years after. And Samuel continued conversation from that day. Joseph, God is going to see him. He said, I am Joseph whom you stole into slavery. He carried him back to the point of the sin, the crying. 59 years. Carry back before you depend. But now he has more understanding. Now the whole picture has unfolded. So what he couldn't see by foresight, he could see by hindsight now. And the insight he had into the matter, he said, you meant it for that. And your shape and the place you used to live, you get influence. And the conspiracy seemed to prosper because you all do it. And then you put pressure on Reuben, who didn't want you to kill me, and he put me in the pit. And Judah, who didn't want you to kill me, and he let you sell me. But then all you took and put pressure on the two of them to tell Daddy, the beast eat me up, and hand him the clothes stained with the goat blood, and light him. And the father now in the house for 22 years believing a lie in the house. And then the father talked about him. He said, the lion, the beast eat up this boy, and the beast eat up this boy, and only this little one I have now. And the poor little boy can't never know his brother. Because he's too small at the time to really play with him and understand him now. Think now, if that boy is around, you know, these two boys here, where would it be? And the love he had for them. Think. But God now, catch this. Call for the family. God said, okay, sin must be brought out from its grave. A resurrection trumpet is about to blow. The sin that is buried deep down in the heart, in the grave of the mind and the heart, dug deep, they hide it away. And like the Romans and them, put a seal upon it and seal it up. I'm going to make grave with this, I ain't telling a soul. God now, knowing they call for a greater purpose. Think. Knowing the call to a greater purpose. He knows how to ordain events and circumstances in the life. They need this here. They need to get put here in the heart now. I'm going to, in other words, this famine will throw them back in Joseph's lap. That's what the famine did. It sent them in Egypt to buy corn. And when he come down there, he remembered his dreams and they didn't know it was him. And he started to talk to them rough. And he started to put pressure on them. What is he doing? Seeing what they have been deformed into. Trying to hide sin. Trying to live the lie. But they can't come into the position. When that rain falling out of the father's mouth, that lack of rain falling from the father's mouth at the end of his ministry, placing them and blessing them, they in that hour must be free from sin. So the seeds of that faith, brother, can come forth and be expressed through them. And they have a heritage to pass on to the seed. You get what I'm saying? He said to do what? Save you a posterity. He said, Judah, you have to bring for the hot needle. He said, Ephraim, Manasseh, all look at the people like Joshua. He said, Judah, you have to bring for the Caleb. And look at the condition they was in. But they're carrying this life. A Caleb life in them. A Othniel life in them. You see, you don't know the potentials inside of you. You're living your life anyhow. You're living your life on a low level. But God will say, no, you're marked out. You're chosen for a purpose. And he wants to bring you to that place. But the only way to get you there, you have to awaken the sin you bury deep down in your heart. That when that comes forth, no certain revelations are going to come to you about yourself and your future. and your real ministry. God determined to bless them and bring them to a superior super church and the manifestation of the sons of God. What they were really born for. You have some going to petrochem. You have some going to the LNG plant. You have some doing domestic work. You have some work in the government. You have some teaching in the schools. But he called them for something far beyond that. He put eternal life in them. And he put prophecy in the last days concerning them. And he bring them under a message that is designed to show them what they're coming to. But they're carrying things in their life from the past and the history and things that they do. And God know it. When the famine started, it was a series of experiences designed to awaken this thing and bring it out. That it could be burnt from it. To come into the blessing that they ordained to come into. And Levi could start to get the priesthood thoughts. And Judah could start to get the kingly spirit. Amen! They had not yet come to what sin is. And the cruel, they had not yet come to the knowledge of what sin is. And the cruelty of sin. And why sin can be on the line. The life. A little leaven. Leaven at the lump. God had to teach them that you can't have it. You can't have it in your life. God have that there. You get me? What you've seen is how God provided a way to release them from the guilt. If they die, they're going to die with hidden sin. Even though the father, you know, the stewards, you know, around the house, nobody knew, and they go to the grave with that in their life. But they're going straight to hell with it. But God say, you ordained eternal life. You can't go to hell with that. And since eternal life don't mean you can die with it and still go to eternal life, it don't mean that. God said, I can put experiences to bring that out. And God know only Joseph. All the hate that they hate, all they do is because of that man. That man was in trouble. They didn't want that man in the world. They sell him out to the world. They kill him out to the world. They kill him and get rid of him from the world. As long as he was in the world, there are problems. Get rid of him and the world is he. That's what they try to do with Jesus. That's what they do with the message of the hour. All the denominations go on free now. Every man is a prophet now. Every man gifted now. Why? They get rid of the prophet, the real prophet. You understand what I'm saying? Now he's not the savior. Morris, so whatever, claim it. Benny can claim it. Everybody can claim it. Everybody can say, cancer has been healed right now. Somebody in the hospital. And yes, you get in that wheelchair. You've been crying to God to come out of it. Is that right? And that going on nationwide and across the seas. You know about thousands of people in a wheelchair? Crying to God in a wheelchair? You know, wheelchair that place you want to be? Yes, and he's speaking to you right now. You know, all this kind of nonsense. But God have a way to bring it out. Them fellas maybe never even talk about it no more. They said, this is taboo. Nobody bring up this thing. Don't mention that name no more. Joseph don't exist. The lion ate him that day. We carried the clothes back to daddy. That's it. End of the story. No Midianites, no cell, no putty, no pit. No tapping, no chain, no negotiate for money for him. No, don't mention nothing. Nobody knows but God and them. We have to get rid of it. God in this hour is forcing it out. But even for Hurricane Ivan, nothing we would have never seen. Hurricane Ivan made me see deep, deep, deep into the hearts that People try to hide and suppress and put them in front and I keep in front and I mask and walk around it. The crisis. They had men bury and suppress and try to get rid of. Look at all this persecution here. And people try to say, we never believe in no angel. We never believe that front. And so we all believe the prophet. And that after you kill what you want to kill, then you try to find a new identity. But you have cobwebs and skeleton in your closet. There are spiders inside of there. So God, once they elect, they can't go to the grave with that. Once they're born for a higher purpose, they can't go to the grave with that. And you might say it's a small thing, but that's why God put a lever there. You walk out in God's presence, into God's presence, to offer sacrifice, you come back to the lever and you wash. You go back in, but the tabernacle had no floor. So you're picking up the dirt of the earth. You're picking up defilement. And God know in your daily walk, you'll have this defilement being in contact with the world. So God provide a way to keep you clean. You have to learn the value of that in your life. Every day, Lord, you apply the blood in your life. You ask forgiveness. And where restitution, and where fellowship, and where honesty is required, and where, let me say, bitterness exists, you have to start to make a move. Get your cruise and your salt and go to your bitter water with your cruise and your salt. Get your handful of meal and go to your vessel with death in it and throw it inside of it. Why? You've been ordained to come to adoption, to be a super race and a super church, and God wants to bring you into it. And God in this hour is shaking everything that can be shaken off, that only those things that can't be shaken may remain. Let the musicians come for me now. Play for me, empty me. Total deliverance could not come until that conscience was convicted from sin. They start alone to live with that inside of them and get comfortable because nobody knows. And get a false sense of security. But they could not see that that was keeping them from what they ordained to fulfill. Satan still had a grip on their life. And Joseph, their savior, was to cause that grip to be broken. We have to learn to redeem. We have to learn to deliver. We have to learn to bring out of darkness into light. We have to learn to bring those who are out of fellowship into fellowship with God. We have to learn how to strengthen and establish and settle people in the gospel. We have to learn how to minister entrance abundantly to the kingdom to people. Paul knew how to bring Apollos and them without the Holy Ghost into the Holy Ghost. Peter knew how to convict the people of sin and then bring them to have their sins remitted and then bring them to the Holy Ghost. The early church knew them things. Abraham knew how to intercede and take a man out from under judgment and bring him out. And God brought Lot out because you remember Abraham. Boaz knew how to get the inheritance that was lost to be redeemed when the nearer kinsman won't do it. Aaron knew how to stop a plague in the camp. Moses knew how to take them out of sickness and bring them to health. Elijah knew how to take them out of famine and bring them back with the rain, being blessed. They all knew them things. That's what the word is given to us for. The word is a title deed. That's what the word is given to you for. You are who you are. Them children of Israel was who they are. That was God elected people, God chosen people, God called people, God predestined people. That was divine. But God was divine dresser. And God had to prune that vine. Why?
can make them more fruitful. Because he knew the potential they could bear. But they had things, vines that wrap around them. They had fungus on them. They had too much clusters on one branch that God had to thin down. They had vines that was running loose because it wasn't nailed down. And God had to nail down the vine and tight in certain places to bring it under control so it don't run wild. So the fruit could ripen evenly. It could make good wine and get stimulation and be offered up in worship. God has such beautiful plans for our lives. God's work is so intricate and so unique. God is so interested that in these things, he's trying to say, like the dentist, he looks at his little cavity. He said, I could still save that teeth, you know, that tooth. My English brothers. I'll drill into it. He says, it's going kind of far, but I could even get the root canal. Rather than put a false one there. He says, a good thing I didn't drop out of dental class and I went into higher dental science. So, our next man, let's take a plasma and jerk it out your mouth. Give it a big gap in your mouth. You're talking, you can't talk like your normal voice. But he's going to fix this for you. You'll look the same way. You'll still be you, but without the cavity. That's what God do with us. We have cavity. And you is you. And God is the great dentist. And God will take it out of you. And you still have all teeth too. He ain't there to condemn you. Any condemnation, he comes to condemn it to cavity. He'll separate it from you so far as the east from the west. And where God put in that cavity, he can't come back to you at all. Because he'll teach you some dental hygiene. And give you the tools and the equipment to keep it nice and keep it free. So don't be afraid today at this. He knew he had chosen them for a great purpose. But they had to discover the magnitude of this sin. And then they had to be delivered from the power of indwelling sin. You have to take them from the guilt of sin. Then you have to deliver them from the power of indwelling sin that they don't go back to live in sin and continue sin, expecting grace to abound. And then finally deliver them from the presence of sin. In a world where there is no sin. And when we come to the Lord and walk in the water, he delivered us from the guilt of sin. You stand justified, legally and formally acquitted from guilt by God as your judge. Justified, never did it in the first place. But then the Holy Ghost had to come in there to take away the nature that has made you sin. To raise you up now in the heavenly places to walk in a higher realm with God. And Joseph, the Savior, that sin had to come out. That nature that did the sin had to come out. And he put them under certain specific trials that their sin came back to remembrance. I read it very quickly now. Let's stand up and read it. We break right in to these scenes here. And I told you Genesis 42, 43, 44. is the experiences that came from the famine. And this is between the famine and Joseph making himself known to them and they being forgiven and being loose from all sin. And then Genesis 49, their father is pouring out the blessing upon them. And they begin to understand God's perfect thoughts concerning them. Now when Jacob saw that there was no corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon the other? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you donkey and buy for us some dents, that we may live and not die. And Joseph, 10 brethren, went down to buy corn into Egypt. 10 brethren. Joseph down in Egypt, 11. Benjamin home with the father, 12. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob said nothing to his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. See, God bring the famine right where they lived, that they be affected by the conditions. It turned into a crisis. And he's always happy looking at one another and get down to Egypt, there's corn down there. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come you? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. He spake roughly with them, purposely. And he began to accuse them. Bunch of spies you come down here. And he called for them, guards to come. And so the guards come with the swords clearing these men. And these men scared. All the people standing watching at them. And they hustle them off in a carriage. And they bring them to this big room. And they sit down there to interrogate them now. And brother, they start to question them. Verse 10. And they said unto him, nay, my lord. But to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said to them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. So he heard the story that they're telling people about him. They say to your own face too, and one is not. But the one is not is. He yet is. Joseph said unto them, that is it that I speak unto you, saying you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence, except your younger brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days, locked them up 3 days in prison. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go you carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. He threatened them and put them under real fear, heavy intimidation here, holding back one. And they said one to another. Now he talking to them through interpreter. And they talking in Hebrew, but they know he Joseph. But he ain't coming out to them. 22 years after he appointed these fellows. After the famine bring them down in this man's presence, and that experience is designed to connect them back to the sin and awaken the conscience to try to suppress. It can be suppressed. They were elected men. They did wickedly. But there was God's children. There was his brothers. But God had a way to free them. And verse 21 says, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. The same way, it's like he was actually mimicking them the way they treated him. But they can't connect it. They said, we are too many. Too what? How are you? Look at a bunch of cooks you are. You think all these men foolish? You want to insult our intelligence? Because when he said, he goes, don't kill me, though, please don't kill me. Though. Well, I'm doing a dream now. You did big preacher. Always exalt yourself to higher looking on people. All the time is a revelation you get from God. See? So the way you treat them there, that is designed to connect that back with that. Because the purpose is, they can't get saved if they don't confess the sin. And the sin is the evidence and the basis of the condemnation. And they can't be released from that guilt, even though they tried to mimic confidence and walking powerful and talking about the grace of God, and we are true men. They're a bunch of false liars, misrepresentatives of the world and everything else, full of jealousy and envy and deceit. But that is the cavity that had to be drilled out. And he had him in the dental chair, and he had the head backwards here, and he had the hands strapped down, and he had the drill, and he was drilling without any cocaine. You better feel that pain while you drill. He's not doing it for wickedness. He's doing it for them to understand the guilt and the magnitude of the crime. Because if not, they can't be released because they can't bring the right kind of repentance. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And all things work together for good. And the goodness of the famine was to bring these men in that condition to see the life and the condition of the life. That was the goodness of God, bringing that famine and that chastisement. But Felix tell the brothers in the testimony I shared Wednesday night, in the service Wednesday night in Green Hill, he says, I'm sorry I even had to do you all that so me and Brother Vin could meet here. Though we know of each other all these years, we meet in the disaster of the hurricane. Both in a time when people need relief and looking for relief after the great devastation on the land and no food. All happening in this season of Joseph for the last 2 months. The potter with the mold over vessels that had cracks in it. Listen, friends. Listen. It's beautiful how God works in our lives to free us from the enemy within. Verse 12. And he said to them, neighbor, to see the nakedness of the land that you come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren. I passed it, didn't I? Where was I? 22. And Reuben answered them and saying, speak I not unto you, saying, do not sin against this child. No, you hear what he's talking? He said, Reuben, don't remember. I remember that day. I tell her, don't kill him, put him in the pit. You see the same thing? The blame that they try not to share and trying to play exists, it come back 22 years after. Friends, I believe this message is very straight to all of us. Me first. Stand and preach. Look.
and you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. They are associating. They get revelation. This happening to we know because of that, you know. Trouble ever befall you and sin that's coming to remembrance? What did the widow Zarephath when the son died? What did Elijah? You come this day to call my sin to remembrance you. When trouble comes, friends, somehow in the working of man's subconscious, I'm out about 3 weeks of preaching. Every time I come up, I just, the surface, and can't, and where I want to go, I can't really go. God wants to get in your subconscious. My brothers, my sisters, you do things and you're taking chances. You do things in a little carnal mind and where you live, you think that you're okay with God. You do things in the kind of, you think you're half a little prayer by your bedside. I mean, God forgive you. It had no repentance in that prayer, had no sorrow, no remorse, no guilt, no understanding, deceitfulness of sin. And you go along. But because there's no judgment. And because you like to keep secret for each other. 10 of them keep secret for each other. 10 of them keep secret for each other. You know what I'm talking about? You don't tell nobody about it, eh? You don't tell nobody about it, eh? And you're putting pressure on one another to hold your sin for you. And you make a pact. And you're kind of compromised because I have to go too. In the sun. So I really easy to put in bond because if I go and tell, they will expose mine too. So everybody gets well. Friends, I want to see very clear in the scripture how that's the working of the Holy Spirit to bring free his people so they can take the position they're born and ordained to take in life. And not live halfway with halfway blessing when they call for a higher purpose. Today, with your own self, you look into your heart, then you look to God, and you talk to him. And you talk to him. And you come to a place in your life, say, Lord, I born for something more, and I start to believe that. And I see my faith really want to come to its full potential now and really break free to my hindrances. Whether it's to bring my healing, my deliverance, my full salvation, where I don't have to live in bondage, where sin can have no more dominion over me. Sin reign come to an end, power is broken and taken away from my life. I come to that place. And if you are eagle this morning, you rise up into the place that God has called you for to live as a son of God, as a daughter of God. How could the Holy Spirit give us a message this hour like this? And Joseph, all day in Joseph, look where it worked down to the crack. It worked down to the crack in the vessel. Why? Prepared unto every good work. A vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. A chosen vessel to bear my name. When this started in the convention, and we put that banner up, Holy Spirit come back and say, change it, change your first one, put up this one, put these scriptures, and I preach a message in the potter's power and the potter's purpose. And bring it right down now to find the cracks in the vessels and the places he must break us. So we can be in the condition for the work and fit for the master's use. How many understand me? Amen. All of you understand me. That drop you first. Would you promise me something? Would you finish reading it when you go home? Because I feel I don't want to go on reading. It will take my time. And this anointing upon me here. Every time I hit that one word of scripture here, somebody is open now. I want to speak. And I don't want to linger too much longer. But your heart is here and your seat already. I don't want to go for overkill on that. I want you in your heart with that feeling before God. And some of you who have strife and contention, who have enmity, and you don't talk to this one, you don't talk to that one. And it's that one's fault, and they start it, and this one do that. And it's not my fault, and you're going to ask this one if it's my fault, and all of that. Let's break through the hindrances. And let's draw the circle bigger. And even though you know you're sensing ridicule and retaliation, it's not going to paralyze your faith from trying. You're going to rise above that fear and still say, I want us to be friends. I don't want this kind of thing between us. I want trust. You know the song we sing it last night? I need you. I won't hurt you with no words in my mouth. I need you to survive. You need me. I need you. We're going to sing it at the end of the series. Now let us empty me. As we look into our own hearts, as we come to this place this morning, Joseph the Savior, that you could be a Savior, and your heart be so full of love, not easily provoked, don't behave yourself unseemly, think yet no evil, suffer it long, is kind, not puffed up. Empty me, O my loving Lord. Empty me, O my loving Lord, until I'm just like a little. So your will could be done. Lord, I've heard your word that has called me. Same word that called you many years ago, same voice, the Holy Spirit. I've heard your voice that has called me. And now today, under the compelling power of the Lord, I can't turn away. I can't turn away. Oh, I feel compelled. Do you feel compelled? I'm compelled by the truth. I'm compelled by the truth that I hear just to walk with you. Isn't that what God said to the prophet? Would you walk with me? Oh God, this is out of my heart. This is my prayer. And I know. I know that in myself, I've come to know that in a deeper way than before, that I'm not worthy, Lord. Of the place that you prepared for me. Don't you love me with all your heart, friends? Hasn't he been good to you? But I love you. But I love you. And I really want to serve you. So each day. So each day of my life. Purpose in your heart. I will live for you. Lift up our hands and sing it to him. Empty me. Yeah, Lord. Empty me. Yeah, Lord. Of all my self and pride. Empty me. Yeah, Lord. Remove secret sins inside. Oh. Oh God, hear our prayer. Empty me. Oh, my loving Lord. Until I'm just like a little child. You have no malice, so your will could be done. Could be done in my life. Oh, sometimes from within. From within. How I grew and cried. How I hunger. For thee. But I would not be satisfied. My conviction goes too deep. I must have it. Must have that Holy Spirit. Until I be filled with you. Be filled with you. Empty me. So that I can be filled with you. Empty me, dear Lord, of unbelief in some. You want the deliverance from the power of indwelling sin. This unbelief inside that drums me off and brings me that candle this many times. Lord, let me never pretend. We don't want a double standard life. Remove fears and doubts within. Empty me, O God. Oh, my loving Lord, until I'm just like a little child. So your will could be done. Let me sing the chorus once more. Empty me, dear Lord. If you know the Holy Spirit have compelled you today, He brings you to a place. He wants to bless you and move you into a real position. Empty me. Is that the cry of your heart? Under the influence of the word like this, remove secret sins inside. Take away all pretensiveness. Rise up and take your place. Live in your true God-given potential. Don't be robbed and cheated by the enemy. This altar is open. Deliverance is here. Let Satan's grip be broken from around your life today. Let that devil know that you ain't no make-believer. He might trap you, he might get you to make a mistake, but he's not going to hold you there and try to live a false life and try to live the lie, friends. You want to live and walk in a place you died 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that makes no difference, friends. That sin could not be removed. They tried different things from the time they were put in that prison and from the time they were in that condition they couldn't come out. They said, I talked to one another. You see the same thing? It was right there all the time. They thought they shut it up in their minds. They thought they had it under their feet. They thought that maybe God forgot those things. They thought that sin wasn't laid in their account. But it was there, friends. It was there. But God was gracious. Dear Joseph. A type of the Lord Jesus, our Joseph. Knew how to put the pressure in certain places to awaken the conscience that went to sleep. That which they tried to hide and bury, God was bringing it out, because there's only one way to deal with it. If they confess the sins, He was just and faithful to forgive them. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but blood. Oh, that power, wonder working power. Deliverance is here, friends. God have a place for you, ordain you to take a stand, to walk in the word. God wants to move you into a place of power. Some of you have lost the battle in the mind. Some of you have been taken prisoner and captive for many years. Like they were taking Satan, had taken them captive. But the hour had come for their deliverance. Amen. Glory be to God, because their blessing had to come before Jacob goes. Amen. And if you're going to speak of that blessing, begin to be identified, each one of them. Who formerly was bound, who formerly tried to live the lie, who formerly was gripped in that condition. I want you where you stand here. Let the Holy Spirit meet you individually here. By God's grace, we'll pray collectively. Myself and all those who stand around you. We are one body. We have different circumstances. We have places. We come to conditions. This enemy, his subtlety, his craftiness, his deceit. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes to put the blinders on us and keep us blind. Shut us up in this prison that we don't get loose. Hold us in fear and condemnation. Hold us in bondage. But you shall know the truth. And truth shall make you free. And you can stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made you free. You can stand in that place where there's no condemnation to that in Christ. You walk it after the flesh, but after the spirit. He can raise you up to know all things work together for good. Until you come to a place where you say, what can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? To make you more than conquerors through Christ and all these things. Famine, pestilence, tribulation, persecution, peril, all these things. Make you a real overcomer in this hour. Because you're born for this. You are born for this. Let's just pray now. And in your heart, out of your, you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, the Bible says, and you shall never be ashamed. For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know the power of true confession. The prophet says in the message, he cares, do you care? He said, God told him to bring the people to make sincere confession. He found that they was not making confession with real deepness and sincerity. And many of God's children ordained in this age to fulfill the word, to live in victory and walk in the power of the Spirit, was living below the God-given privileges. Because Satan had enticing spirits, seducing spirits, with the poison acids of malice and these things, wickedness, jealousy and envy, lust, pride had infiltrated them, had defiled them, put their conscience asleep, tried to make them live double standards, a life of pretensiveness, live the lie. Because Balaam knew if those people, he couldn't curse them, so he knew he had to trap them into sin. Then God would have to judge, because God is a righteous judge. And so he trapped them in the false union. Because he had tried to curse them and end up only blessing them. Satan knows, friends. If he can trap you there, he'll hinder you. He'll keep you back. He can't make you not bride, because you are bride. But he can hinder you from your real place.
He can hold you back in unbelief. He can make you a stumbling block. Instead of making you a savior and a deliverer to someone, he makes you a stumbling block. Many times you have that life in you, but you don't know how to carry. You don't know how to carry that ministry. But God ordained that ministry in you. He put the deposit that eternal life in you. He deals you a measure. But Satan tried to manipulate you and use your God-given abilities for the wrong things. But today, take back what the devil took from you. Come up to the high place and take it back. Put your feet upon the neck of them kings today. True confession and faith. All the powers of God is subject to the Son and Daughter of God. Lord Jesus, as we stand here today, Father, thinking of the thoughts that have been expressed to us out of the life of Joseph in the Bible, a mystery that laid in the book of the church in the last days, the church that will come to perfection, the church that has come to suffering and enter into glory. And dear God, as we have examined the lessons that is recorded here and was designed for us to learn and understand our battle with sin within our lives and how the enemy can exploit and manipulate us by planting these seeds within us and hold us in bondage and continue, dear God, to keep us from the blessing that you so desire to give to us. But had it not been for your great wisdom and your love and your power, God, to counter the move of the enemy, knowing what he will do, you were able, oh God, to take the things that he done and make it work together for good. And our lack of cooperation with you and our making ourselves available to the enemy to be used of him, to be influenced by him, God, have wrought so much damage sometimes that we hurt one another. We're in pain. God, we become stumbling blocks. We become blinded from what you desire to reveal to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. That life that you want us to behold and be changed into. How Satan puts a veil over our hearts. That we can't see this lovely life of Christ. Then he holds us in selfishness and self-centeredness. Because he weakens us. And we fail to see that each one of us has been allotted a portion. It comes to us in our own season. The lines have fallen upon all of us in pleasant places. For you have only planned good things for us. Yet, because that faith is not cultivated, because we live on such a low level many times, we become blinded of it. We can't seem to believe it and grasp it and walk in it. And so become influenced by others around us. Others who walk in the flesh. Others who walk after the course of this world, children of wrath by nature. Children of disobedience. Who are conformed to this cosmos. We let them influence us because we fail to lift our eyes to that other horizon. To look to the unseen, the eternal things. How it have caused many of us to suffer. How it have caused, oh God, us to walk in blindness. How, oh God, we have lived short and fall short of what you want us to be. But today, the light from your word have found a place in the scriptures that many of us, oh God, can look to and see a more excellent way and understand why you deal with people in the way you deal with them, and correct our thinking. We don't have to run and evade and hide and keep on lying and bluff out our conscience. Like your prophet at time when he was lost, going around in circles on the death walk, yet trying to bluff his subconscious saying, Bill, you ain't lost, you ain't lost. And the storm was coming in. His wife and son was going to die that night. Oh God, only because of his pride. But then he heard that voice and he began to get broken up. And begin to see his own folly and repent. He heard a voice saying, God is your present help in the time of trouble. He saw on Hurricane Mountain something happen when that whirlwind blew a hole in that fog, and he saw the lifeline. That line of communication that took him back to his family, oh God. When he's going the opposite direction, straight to his death. Only because he's running after his own loss. Running on the bear and running the cougar and running on all kinds of elusive dreams. Things of his own fancy. Take of himself, dear God. Lord, you give him those experiences so his mistakes could become a stepping stone for us. They could open a way for us, God. The day, dear God, we stand in your presence. Where we have sinned, dear God, we ask in humility for deep forgiveness. Each one knows our places. And Lord, oh God, I pray that the same spirit that went into the word and took these things out and bring it like a sharp dagger to our hearts and to our conscience, oh God, will even bring us, oh God, to the place today to realize it is all good, Father. Because the great blessings and the condition that is required of us to meet, that we might prove ourselves worthy of what you want to give, we might overcome and pass the test. So, Lord, as we take inventory now, as you bring our lives into scrutiny and self-examination in the light of your revealed truth that you have ministered to us today, fill our thinking. Break every fetter and every chain. Bring us to the depth of conviction and remorse, to the place where our principles can be so driven down, our convictions can go so deep, that will cause us to purpose in our heart. We'll live uprightly, O God, the cross before us and the world behind us. We'll not go that way, Father, again. But Jesus, will be what you want us to be. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what we're willing to do. We'll trade sunshine for rain and comfort for pain, O God. Take our houses, take our lands, take our dreams, take our plans. Bring into us that depth of sincerity. Help our unsincerity, we pray, Father. We realize when we have to stand the gap for someone that is at the point of death, we cannot have no leaven. When, oh God, we have to be used of you to bring salvation, deliverance, and healing, we cannot have no leaven. We can't be pretentious and hypocritical. And oh God, to live the lie, to deceive others and then deceive ourselves. That's what the Bible says in the last days. Many are deceiving and being deceived. They deceived the old Father, yet they were deceiving themselves. Yet, oh God, the Father had to come that hour to know that deceive him. Because their very own lips, they had to go back and say, Joseph is alive. And with their very own lips, oh God, they had to confess. They were wrong, dear God. Fill our heart with your love, Father. Lack of that love does bring too much selfishness. Hold us in them places so long, oh God. It makes us so unmindful of others. It makes us live in places where we become so callous and hard. where we lack the sensitiveness that is needed to enter into another suffering. Jesus, search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us, O Savior, and know our thoughts, we pray. See if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Take your sharp knife and circumcise, Lord. Circumcise our eyes. Circumcise our lips. Circumcise our heart. Circumcise us completely, O God. May you grant it, Father. May your spirit of humility, for we know the hour is here, Father. You are the power, the fullness of that blessing upon a church that has been called and appointed in this hour, Lord, to finish the ministry of redemption, the ministry of Jesus Christ. What a great calling you've called your children in the last days. What a great responsibility you've put upon us. Help us today, Father. Help my brother and my sisters here. God, you know why each and every one is standing here. You know the condition of each one. You know to the extent, oh God, you have dealt with each one. But oh God, whether little or small, whether in a deep way or a halfway or a shallow way, God, whether we have walked blind, oh God, down through these years, whether we come to this service still self-centered and selfish, insensitive, God, let us not go back that same way. But let us, oh God, walk with you, Jesus. Don't never leave us alone, oh God. Walk in us, oh God. Overshadow us, Lord. Let us be such a reflection of you. Let our lives be a picture of you. A letter written by your hand for the world to read and to see and to feel. And to know that you live in us, Lord. We want to live the way you want us to live. We want to give when even though it brings heartache and pain, oh God. We want to have the kind of convictions that we will not think of what you're going to cost us. We're going to be burned, oh God, with the conviction that we know it's the right thing to do. May you grant it, Father, that truly we can be written epistles well of all men. That we can be a vessel of honor, fit for the master's use, sanctified, prepared unto every good work, chosen vessels bearing your name. That's what we desire. Blot out now all confessing. That's the only kind can be blotted out. Bring depth of conviction that we will not leave things that we know need restitution or going to others. We will not leave it undone, Father. Give the strength, give the grace today. Let your love come down. Force and threats and intimidation cannot do it. But the goodness of God will lead to repentance. To bring a heart to see how much you love them. That you bore our shame. You despise the shame of God. You took the ridicule and the humiliation. And you endured the cross. Because you saw the joy that was set before you. Put our hearts and minds in that same channel where we can live and walk, dear Father. Because our time now at the end of the age, we too must walk there. If the bride made on 16,000 kilocycles, the bride must hit the same. To show she's life of his life, spirit of his spirit, word of his word, works of his works, she is him revealed. May you grant it, Father. Bless each one with this blessing. Bring this deliverance. Let them walk in this liberty. Let them not having to look back, oh God, from this day. Do it, Father. We ask it sincerely. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let this little church rise up. What a great responsibility you have given unto us. With what grace you have dealt us down through these years. And if you can dwell richly with us like this, even to the measure that you can, and bless us into the measure we have received. yet knowing it's not the fullness of what you promised. And if you are willing even to give us that portion, you told your prophet, be more sincere and I'll increase it. So dear God, we ask that you make us more sincere, that we can walk in all you require us. We purpose in our hearts. We lift our hands to you and we pledge this today with undying faith, trusting in your grace, believing in what you have done for us. And oh God, looking unto you, the author and finish of our faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you hold our hand and lead us into this, we pray. For your honor and faith, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just to God and give thanks. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you, Father. With all sincerity in your heart, my brother, my sister, go and sin no more. Let His peace settle into your heart. Let His grace abound in your life. Strive, my brother, monkey with wings of an eagle. Cut all ties from that enemy. Expose him completely. Let him have no grip in your life. This is a fierce battle. But you must be determined to win this battle. Put him under your feet today. Send him on the run today. Cast him away from your life today. Draw close and come and yield yourself to the tender embrace of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. This faithful one, this true one. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to live. Let's sing that. God bless you. I'm going to live your will. He wants me. He's opening His world. He's shining light. And He's showing me the way He wants me to live. I'm going to do just that. Just no more to give. I'm going to love till get just no more love. Him. And only leave through them doors when you know He's sending your hand. God bless you.